to you by Barfoot and Thompson.
On the show today, we're heading back up north to chat to the experts in both Whangarei and Warkworth on why their area makes such a great investment opportunity, plus how you can sign up to be a sales agent with their teams. Welcome to Property Matters. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. I'm Stephen Dello. It's great to have you here for another week. We've got a busy week. We're checking straight back up north again to find out more about this unique space in Northland and how it can be not only a wonderful place to live, but to work and to invest. Now this week we're heading back up north to chat this time to the branch manager of Barfoot & Thompson's Whangarei branch, Steve Sharp. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great to have you here. Now, look, before we sort of delve into an investment conversation around the north, tell us a little bit about yourself and your own real estate journey.
Okay. 12 years I've been in real estate. I was with LJ Hooker to start with up here and got, you know, pretty high up in there. I was one of the top salespeople in the office for quite a long time. Top 3% throughout New Zealand and Australia for a couple of years. So, yeah, I was really successful as a salesperson. Prior to that, I was a professional photographer for 15 years.
Ooh, and come in handy in real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. And then before, I've been self-employed since I was 18, basically. So always been self-motivated and driven.
Yeah, self-motivation, that's, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit later about what makes a good salesperson, but, you know, I'm guessing self-motivation's a biggie.
Yeah, huge part of it, absolutely.
Yeah, how do you train yourself for that, do you think?
Honestly, there's a lot of training that I've been through throughout the years where they try and encourage salespeople to, you know, work harder, do more, all of that sort of thing. But I think at the end of the day, you know, people have to have it within themselves, the drive and determination to succeed. And I've been working alongside people that, you know, they take those psychometric tests and things like that. And some of my colleagues over the years, their tests have said they should never be a salesperson. And they see those and go, well, stuff that, and they go out and they work because they're determined to prove that test was wrong. Their drive to succeed is greater than, you know, their fear of failure, you know, they don't want to fail. So, yeah. But you've got to have that in you, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. What excited you about the position of branch manager for Whangarei?
It was the challenge of growing a business, I think. I mean, Whangarei is a tough market. We've got 23 different companies here that are operating in.
Wow.
Five of them are cut price companies, you know, with their $10,000 plus commissions and things like that. So it is a really, really tough environment, and it's like its own little ecosystem really as far as real estate. So, you know, I know Auckland's the big market, but, you know, here I think people rock into Whangarei and think, oh, you know, well, you know, there's new companies that have started and I think they think they'll turn up and do really well, but often they don't last long because the competition is just that fierce up here. So, yeah.
I'll let you have a little commercial plug here, I guess, because I'm curious, you know, with that sort of competition in a small space, and as you say, the cut price ones, what do you think makes Barfoot and Thompson stand out? And what, you know, is it the reputation and the trust of the brand?
Oh, there's a couple of different factors there. I think having such a huge market share in Auckland certainly helps us up here. We get Aucklanders that will come up here and just come straight to us. So certainly that's a bonus. But, you know, as far as all of the other companies in town, we just got to carry on doing what we're doing. You know, if you focus too much on what the competition's doing and take your eye off what you're doing, you tend to get a bit lost. So, you know, everything I'm doing up here, it's about improving every aspect of the business. And luckily I've got a team that when I came along, you know, I knew very little about any of them, but there's such a great team of people here and there's no egos. It's, you know, just people that really want to do best by their clients, which you couldn't ask for better than that with salespeople. So.
Fantastic. What is it that you love about North as an area, the sort of the whole Northland region?
Oh, well, you know, the beaches, obviously. It's I live sort of partway between Whangarei and the Tutukaka coast, and so we're not far away from that. But there's some beautiful cafes around. It's big enough. Whangarei is big enough that you can have, you know, all the different chain shops and things like that and get whatever you need without having to go into Auckland. But it's also small enough that you don't stress about rush hour traffic. It's really, you know, 20 minutes is probably it. And so there's not difficulty getting around. You get from one side of town to the other within, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So, yeah, that's what I enjoy about Whangarei is the ease of access to everything.
Yeah, it really has that mix of city and rural, and it's kind of got it right, hasn't it? I mean, I remember years and years ago in a previous life doing some teaching at Nungaroo School out on the coast, and you'd have, the ones that kids that arrived by car, and then there was a couple that would arrive by horse, but we'd also have to wait for the bell to ring when the rowboat dinghy has come across from the little island, depending on the tide, and then that determined the start of the day, which I used to always chuckle about as someone who works to a very scheduled day. I loved it. Absolutely beautiful.
It is certainly. It's a unique sort of environment up here, and we've got a lot huge artistic community up here and things like that, so it's it really is a wonderful place to live.
Now, it's been a tough time of late, so how are your teams coping in the current market and post-cyclones?
Yeah, well, it certainly has been a lot quieter, especially over the February period with the weather and the events that we had going on. But, you know, having said that, there's still buyers out there, which unlike 2011, 12, 13, I was just talking to Campbell Dunoon, the auctioneer, just before about this. You know, he was saying it's a really tough time in Auckland, but, you know, I was selling houses 2011, 12, 13, where we'd be marketing properties for 9 months, 12 months, things like that, and you wouldn't have anyone through for a month, you know, and so to get someone through, one person through an open home was awesome. Now, we're still getting, you know, twos and threes and fours. Really good properties are still getting 15 groups through them. So it's not a dead market. It's just not as busy as it was a year ago. And so, you know, the newer salespeople that haven't been in a down market are thinking it's a bad market, but then they don't have the comparison of what it was like 10 years ago, you know? So,
And I guess it comes back to what you said at the start, that self-motivation. Now's the time for sale. They've got to be motivated. They've got to be out there trying different ways to market.
Yeah.
Why do you think the North makes a great investment opportunity? Because our show, we have a lot of landlords and investors listening. Why should they look at North as an option?
Well, the cost of housing up here, you know, compared to Auckland, it's still relatively cheap. And rentals, there's a huge demand for rental properties up here. You know, we've got, I won't go into how many properties we're managing, but, you know, we've never got more than 10 or so properties available. And the demand for them is huge, but we're very picky about our tenants. So we make sure we're only putting good tenants into our properties. It's as far as return on investment, it's actually, you're probably getting a couple of percent better return on investment here in Whangarei than you would be in Auckland. Mm. So, you know, you might be looking at 6%, 5%, 6%, 7% sort of thing for a rental investment. That's but it depends. It depends again on location. So, you know, if you want a better return, then you buy in a lesser location and get a better rental return. But your upkeep's always going to be a bit more work. Whereas if you're buying for capital gain and you want a better area and a better quality of tenant with good school zones and things like that, Whangarei rents sort of cap out at about $800 a week, and that would be for a massive $2 million mansion, you know. You're not going to get much more than that. Whereas the average rent for your average home is somewhere in the $600, $650 range. So, you know, there's not a lot of difference between that and the 800, but most people can't afford 800 a week. So, because the incomes up here are lower.
Yeah. You've segued nicely into my next question, and that was, what advice would you have for someone looking at purchasing an investment property in the north? And you've just mentioned, you know, obviously the location's a key part. Is there anything else that we should be looking for? I mean, is there sort of the three, in Auckland, it's the three bedroom brick and tile that's going to go quick. What sort of things should we be looking for in Northland?
Up here, I mean, you've got a variety of different housing around the city. So, you know, you can have suburbs where it's you'd have a great street right next to a really bad street. So, you know, it's I would say talk to the local people, to the local salespeople about it when you're looking to buy a property, because there can be quite a bit of difference, you know, between one end of a street and another. And if you're buying for a specific reason, whether it's capital gain or return, you know, you want to have all your ducks in a row and know exactly what you're getting into. But up here, I think most people like to have a little bit of room around themselves. So some of the average areas, Tikipunga, Morningside, places like that, you're getting a decent 1960s weatherboard home on a 700 or 800 square metre section. And you know, they've been around for 50 or 60 years and they'll stand the test of time. And as long as they're up to the healthy home standard, then you're all good. Yeah.
Are people getting more conscious where they purchase post the cyclone, do you think? Sort of thinking about those valleys, and I guess down here was big in Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, you know.
Yeah. We didn't actually bear the brunt of that last cyclone as badly as Auckland and Hawke's Bay did. So I think we certainly had a lot of rain. But in our portfolio, I think we only had two or three properties that had any issues, and that was mainly trees falling on properties and things like that from the winds. But as far as flooding, there wasn't a huge amount of actual flooding in houses going on up here. We had all areas around the city that were flooded, but yeah, most of the houses were pretty good.
That's good. Now, thinking of your years of experience out there in real estate, what advice would you give a first-time investor trying to get on the ladder who perhaps is listening going, Northland might be an option for me where Auckland has been a little difficult?
Absolutely. Well, I think with anything, it's like the question, you know, when's a good time to have kids? There's never a good time. Just do it. You know, you've got to, with property, you've just got to get your foot on the ladder, because there's people I know of that have been looking for years and years and they keep procrastinating and they just never get on the market. And, you know, now's a great time to buy. The market's slower. There's less buyers out there, less competition. So property prices are down a little bit. You know, they're probably down 10 or 15% on what they were a year ago. So, yeah, just look at any long-term graphs. You know, the trend is always upwards for property. The market's not going to crash, so I think now's a great time to be buying. And, yeah, houses aren't going to get any cheaper.
Brilliant. Now, switching hats now to, you know, running your team there at the branch, when it comes to a career path, why do you think people should still consider real estate?
I can speak from a personal perspective, I think, because having been a salesperson for 12 years, it's one of those careers that I don't think anything compares to it, because you've got this amazing flexibility with your time. If your kids are sick, you can stay home, juggle a few meetings, things like that. You've got colleagues that can cover you. But there's no other career that offers the income potential that real estate does. You know, you can earn more than the Prime Minister in selling real estate in Whangarei, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're good at what you do and you love what you do and you're committed to being the best at what you do, you will succeed. And there's just nothing like it. And the rush of, you know, beating competition, you know, beating the opposition to getting listings and things like that, it's a fantastic adrenaline boost, you know, it keeps you going.
You should call Jacinda up. She might be keen.
Might want a job, do you think?
Yeah, next career move. What makes a real estate member stand out from the rest, do you think, a sales agent?
Personally, I think it's resilience and perseverance. The ability for someone to be able to get out of bed every day, push yourself regardless of what happened the day before, because there's highs and lows in real estate. And you just have to learn to, you know, brush them off and get on with the job. Some of the best real estate people, like I said before, should never have succeeded. But it comes down to determination and resilience. And success in this industry is not guaranteed. You have to fight for everything you get. And I've always believed the harder you work, the luckier you get. So, yeah, it's certainly get out there and get into it and just burn your bridges.
Brilliant. What do you think's been your most challenging moment in real estate to date?
Yeah, I had to think about that one a little bit. I mean, there's lots of challenges in real estate, but I think one of the hardest aspects of it is can also be one of the most rewarding things, and that's helping people that are going through really emotionally difficult times, like the death of partners, and they just can't be able to be in the house, or you know, parents and things like that. Divorces can be really, really tricky. So being able to be empathetic to people's situations and helping them to get the best outcome, I think is probably the most rewarding part of the job, but it's also one of the hardest parts of the job.
Absolutely. So what are you looking forward to this year and beyond?
Certainly it's growing the business, mostly through innovation and obviously enthusiasm and perseverance as well. But I'm trying to just change the way we do things and bring other industries' innovations into what we're doing here. So whether that be software or technologies and things like that, you know, we want to make every change count. So for me, it's about growing the business in a unique way, hopefully. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
That's my path.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time. And only a week ago, we chatted to your head of property management, Janine, so we get an all-round sense of how busy the Whangarei branch is, but that you're there for both sales and rentals. If anyone wants to check them out, they're based right in the heart of the city, or head to barfoot.co.nz/Whangarei. Steve, thanks for your time today on Property Matters.
No worries. Thanks very much, Stephen.
Now, this week we're staying up north, but travelling down now from Whangarei, heading back towards Auckland and stopping off at the wonderful, beautiful place of Warkworth. And I'm joined by the team from Barfoot & Thompson Warkworth, Maren, the branch manager, and Philip, the head of property management. Welcome to Property Matters.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. So, look, before we talk about your wonderful area, tell us a little bit about yourself and your own real estate journey.
Do you want to go first? Sure thing, yeah. Mine's come and gone a little bit, I think. My first experience was property management was when I was back in university. I was doing disaster risk management at Portsmouth University. And we're going way, way back now to the early 2000s. When I was at university, the flood, sort of tsunami, happened in Thailand. Wow. And this was the only course in the world about managing disaster and risk together. And we lost all our lecturers. So we got put into the property management class.
Wow.
And that was my first taste. And I thought I was after a bit more of adventure and I was going to go work abroad and deal with these disasters worldwide. And then 6 years ago, a job in property management turned up close to me in Arewa, and it was looking after 130 properties that probably weren't subject to the same extreme amount of risk that you would get with a tsunami, and it fitted into my life cycle pretty well. So I was happy to take it on, and since then I've loved it, to be honest. Worked with a big team and taken a step to move further up into Warkworth and look after the office here with Maren.
Brilliant. What is it you love about property management so much?
In one word, it's got to be the people.
Okay.
Working with a team when there are kind of like storms coming through or severe situations, like you really feel like you're getting through something with the team around you, and also the people in the tenants. You think about it, I'm looking after 130 homes, but more realistically, I'm looking after 130 families. And that's the way I like to think about it. You get to meet so many people in the local community. Every time I go shopping or out for a coffee, there's someone to wave and say hello to. I really feel like I'm part of the community and giving something back rather than just, you know, just enjoying being where I am.
That's brilliant. Well, Maren, it sounds like you've got a good staff member there, especially someone with some crisis management experience as cyclones like to whip through now. Tell us a little bit about your journey in real estate that led you into this role.
Okay, well, I come from a varied background of health, science, hospitality, sports, and now real estate. And I've been in real estate since 2007, most of the time working for Barfoot & Thompson, which is a great company to work for. And I was working with my wife, Geraldine, until I got a secured manager job. I was previously a sales manager as well and had a bit of a flair for pushing the boundaries and disrupting the status quo, let's put it that way. So where I worked previously, we actually, you know, increased the market share and did a lot of community engagement, which really relates itself to the Warkworth area. And as you can see from the plaque behind me, we've got 16 suburbs within our 30-kilometre radius that we serve. And it's quite a feat in itself because we have one office covering that whole area and a dynamic team who travel across all of those suburbs to provide a great service.
What is it that you love about your whole area and region that you think attracts people to either live or rent there?
You know, I think the community more than anything else. It's a small village community in Warkworth. It's a small village community in Matakana. Every suburb has its own little village setting, and each one is very protective and very cautious about what they do with their area. So it's a very well protected area as far as environmental and also the market, the way the businesses run themselves. They really do look after the community, and we do that as well. We have sausage sizzles on a regular basis to raise money for charity. We've raised money for over 18 local charities so far, and the most recent was the cyclone and flood victims. The last sausage sizzle we did, we raised over $2,800. So that was great. And, you know, it's a very giving community. That's what I'd like to say, because but you don't have to go asking people. They actually come to you, which is great.
That's lovely. Now, look, it has been a tough time of late. So how are your teams coping, both in the current market and post things like the cyclone?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. We kind of dodged a bullet a little bit with the cyclone. The first storms that came through and really did their damage in North Shore, we had a few leaks show up, and it highlighted the problems in some of our properties that we needed to take action on. So we were lucky enough to have that kind of warning up here. So we did take a few steps, fix a few roofs. And then when the cyclone came through, there was nothing major to report. The properties that got hit previously had that little bit of work done that needed to be done. And it started around us this time. So, yeah, that stitch in time did save nine this time around.
And Merrin, what about the current sales market? How are your team finding it?
The sales market, like everywhere else, has been very dependent on what the economy has been doing. However, the market is the market, and we strive to always have a portion of that. We've got 16 agencies up here, which is almost unheard of when you compare it to Shore or anywhere else in Auckland. So we fit in to that community sector. The way that the cyclone and the flood particularly has affected the area, people weren't going to open homes, and the number of sales plummeted literally for about a month. We're getting back up there again. We've got a lot of new listings coming in now, which are really good quality listings. Buyers are back in the market. For a while, we lost the ones that were investing in property, who were probably not living locally but wanting to invest locally. We're getting those starting to come back slightly. With the prospect of the new motorway opening between Puhoi and Warkworth, that is going to cut down travelling time immensely. When you go onto the NX2group.com site and watch the drone fly the distance of the motorway, it's not even going full 100K, and it does it in just over 6 minutes. So that indicates to you the amount of time it's going to save. I've only been caught five times with road closures on the State Highway 1, which is remarkable over 2.5 years. However, during that time, it causes a lot of disruption. With the new motorway opening, all of that is likely to disappear because the road has been set up in such a way that it's not going to be affected by slips and floods. It's also going to bring in a lot of interest in the area, with people looking to possibly commute or work from home. And it's got a lot to offer. A lot of new developments going up. At the end of the motorway, you've got Stubbs Farm, which is very similar in respect to what happened at Westgate and also at Silverdale, where they built a pack and save and everything else revolved around it. Mm. Same thing's happening. And it's going to be a very interesting 5 years ahead of us.
Mm. Brilliant. So it sounds like the area makes for a great investment opportunity. Philip, what advice would you have for someone looking at purchasing an investment property in your area, as in what sort of properties make good investment ones? What are people looking for?
At the moment, I'd say 3 or 4 bedrooms. But for a first-time investor, I'd focus on really finding something that's a bit low maintenance and high appeal. You're looking for reasons to rule people into a property as opposed to ruling them out. So if you've got flat access, if it's single-level living, if it's close to the buses or the new motorway that Mira's talking about, close to the shops and schools, they're the sort of reasons that make it easier for you to find good quality tenants for the property, as opposed to finding, you know, something for a 5 or 6 bedroom home, which really becomes a bit more of a needle in the haystack. So yeah, 3 or 4 bedroom up here. There's lots of families looking for homes at the moment, especially post cyclone. And if you are going to go bigger, I would try and diversify the property a bit. A home and income spreads your risk. You've got 2 tenancies there. You can also get a better return for that as opposed to 1 6 bedroom home. You'll do far better with a 4 bedroom and a 2 bedroom on the same site.
Mm. You just mentioned that you have seen more people post cyclone looking for rental properties. Are you noticing ones that, say, down Auckland are having to spread their wings a little bit further to find a place?
Yeah, for sure. There are people who are looking further north than maybe they used to. I think the new motorway is drawing a bit of appeal as well. Living down in Whangaparoa myself and doing that commute every day, it's not so bad, you know, but I am looking forward to that motorway opening up.
Yeah. Why do you think investors should have their investment property managed and not do it themselves, especially in your area?
Yeah, well, local knowledge is key for townships and, you know, the local tradies that we use. We've obviously built up good relationships with those. We've got people we can rely on the hard times. When you're looking to manage a property or considering doing it yourself, you've got to consider what problems you may come across. Working in Arriva previously, we had 560 properties. My manager, Samantha, had been in the industry for about 13, 14 years. We had other property managers there with 10 years plus experience. There's not really many problems that you would come across in a property that somebody around you hasn't come across before. So we're not looking at problems for the first time. We've seen something like this, or one of our colleagues has seen something like this previously. So we're not going to be thinking, well, how do I attack this? Who do I talk to? Or questioning which tradie do I need to call? We've got a wealth of experience within Barfin and Thompson to be able to know, we've seen this before. I know what to do and who to call. And we can take action quickly. And when you're talking about protecting a $1 million asset, well, the quicker you can take action to protect it, the better you are.
So switching hats now to tenants coming in and applying for properties, what advice do you have for them so they stand out, especially at the moment when you're getting people that have only ever owned their own home, but due to the cyclone, they're now having to rent? How do they stand out for you?
Completely applications, probably number one. There's a lot of people just partially filling their applications out, and it's kind of a barrier to, you know, it's a barrier to entry for them. We're humans at the end of the day, and if you've got a story to tell, more is more. So do fill in your story, explain your situation. There's a workaround for everybody. And although you're dealing with us and the owner wants to hear that story too sometimes. So the personal touch does definitely make a difference. If you've got any pets in there as well, you've got to create that pet CV, 1A4 page, a picture of Charlie who likes walks on the beach is far more appealing than just saying a +1 dog. Yeah. More is more would be my advice to tenants. Engage with us. We're here to provide a service for the tenants as well as the owners. We represent everybody. So use us to your advantage.
Brilliant. Merrin, any advice for a first-time investor trying to get on the ladder?
It's a great area to buy an investment property. When you look at the price of what you can get here compared to the shore or further out in Auckland, you get a lot more for your money. The rents are slightly lower. However, I think the rental return speaks for itself, particularly if you go by what Philip just recommended as far as getting a home and income. You can get a really good rental return, which will pay dividends. So as from an investor's point of view, I think shop around and make sure that you speak to a good salesperson who's got a wealth of knowledge in a particular area, because they can tell you where to buy and where to avoid. Going forward, also with changes that are happening in the area as well, you really need to know what's likely to go forward in the next 5 years and where the likely speculation could be. There's a lot of speculators out there at the moment who are coming in and asking questions about the area. We have booklets outside a magazine which has got all the sales for the past month. They can see what's happening within the 30 kilometres, what's sold according to the government valuation, and also what's being rented as well. You know, we've not got that many properties on our books at any particular time that's not being rented, because we do such a good job. I've got a great team who actually make sure that we get the right tenants into the property, the right fit, so that we don't get turnover as much, and also we don't get the problems. So I take my hat off to a property management team and also my sales team for providing that that extra touch to the service.
Brilliant. Now, we were chatting earlier with Steve from Whangarei and talking about real estate still being a good career path despite the market. What do you think makes a good real estate agent stand out from the rest?
The fact that we've got so many agents around here, you have to stand out from the rest. You have to have points of difference. You have to have the right culture within the office, and that is so important. We've got the right culture. We've recently had a minor refit and we're welcoming new talent into the business. It's not a case of being in the business so long that you're the one that's getting all the business. It's a case of doing the right things to get the business. And from that perspective, we've run a local training academy as such, because we get people doing the skills course, support them through the skills course if they've got any questions. They become integrated into our office whilst they're studying. So it's not a case of them having that shock when they start in first day in the office. It's a case of they've already transitioned into that role. And that's so important, because you actually learn a lot from experienced salespeople that you can implement into your business as a new salesperson. So that's the kind of point of difference that I like to implement at my office, because I feel that we are welcoming and we provide a lot of support locally, but also through our support centre at Shortland Street.
Brilliant. What do you think has been your most challenging moment, Merrin, in real estate so far?
It always takes time to make changes and implement improvements and getting people on board with those changes. And it's probably taken about 2.5 years from when I started to actually get to that point where we're getting some really positive feedback, not just from clients and customers walking through the door and the community, but also from the salespeople saying that they feel empowered and they feel supported. So to me, that indicates that we've gone down the right track. It's always a challenge to bring about change in any environment, and it does take time. And the most important thing is to build trust. If you don't have the trust of your team, then, you know, you're not going to be really making important decisions that are going to matter. And I think going forward, I'm very, very hopeful that our team is going to grow and that we're going to have an increasing market share as a result, because people will be attracted to our team.
Brilliant. What are you both looking forward to for the rest of the year?
Oh, I'm getting to know Warkworth better.
No.
Yeah. I've been here since January, so 3 months in now. It's beautiful up here. It really is. So really getting in the community a bit more. My wife's taken a role up here as well at Sculptorium down the road. So we're both kind of inadvertently moved a little further north. So, yeah, just really getting to know the area and, spending time in the community.
Awesome. Miren?
I'd just like to say Philip has really, really blended in well. And we had a bit of a shock for him the first week he started because we had a tradies breakfast outside the office and he had to be here 6 o'clock in the morning to set up. So his culinary skills came into action the very first week we were here. And it's something that we run on a regular basis. So well done, Philip.
Thank you.
Philip also organises our network group locally as well. So again, hats up to Philip for continuing that from Terrin's days before she went on maternity leave. What I'm really, really looking forward to this year is the motorway finally opening and all of those predicted changes that we've made. We have a team meeting every week, but we also have a team huddle every Friday afternoon. And each week we pick a different topic to brainstorm. And one of the topics was who's coming in, who's leaving, and what the difference is going to make with that new motorway opening. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the biggest driver over the next 5 years. The other thing I'm looking forward to this year is actually consolidating on what we've achieved over the last 2 years and building more strength within the team. Last year, we incorporated an NLP course, which is a neuro-linguistic programming. And it's something that you hear about, you read about, but when you actually do it and you see the change that it makes in the way people communicate and interact and engage with their clients, it actually has made a big difference to our team. And I'd like to think that doing more of those events and having more training events will help us move forward.
Awesome. Well, look, thanks for chatting to us today on Property Matters. If people want to get in touch, they can head to barfoot.co.nz/Warkworth and you'll find Miren and Philip's details there. Enjoy the rest of your week, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, you too.
Well, thanks for tuning in for another episode of Property Matters. As always, we're live on Mondays at 4:15 on Planet FM. Plus, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever your favourite podcast service sits. We'd love you to keep tuning in. We'd also love you to email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. If you have any questions you'd like us to answer in the show, or perhaps you've got something to offer the investment space, come on and chat to us. A big thank you to Barfoot and Thompson for sponsoring us, to their marketing team, and to Matt for promoting the show, to Adam, our editor. Have a fabulous week, and we'll catch you next week.
your land.